Hey, it's De'Asia Simone, and I wanted to personally thank you for tuning in to the Landing on Pluto podcast featuring myself, Rocky Laurence, and Shadonis, where we talk about my sophomore EP Pluto, among many other things. So, buckle up, sit tight, and prepare for landing.
I'm De'Asia Simone, of course, and I'm an artist, singer, songwriter, producer, director, visual artist, all the things. And I just released my EP Pluto, and that's a little bit of what we'll discuss today. And then I have Shadonis and I have Rocky Laurence joining me today. And so Shadonis, I'm going to introduce yourself.
Yes, I'm Shadonis, a creative, astrologer, traveler, all the things. And I'm going to be talking about Pluto, talking about this amazing album or this EP, really. I actually was listening to it earlier. It feels like an album. It's a place. You're actually taking people to a place. So, yeah, ready to land on Pluto, talk about it.
Absolutely. Rocky.
Amazing. I'm Rocky Laurence. I'm a music producer and creative director for visual arts. And I produced the album Pluto.
Yeah, so we're going to dive right into the project. So, again, so I was going to have this be formal, but, you know, we're going to have an open conversation about the project because, you know, that's what we'll do. I'm in my bedroom. So it's funny that the mic is showing because this is literally where I recorded the project. So I recorded the whole project for a whole year in this bedroom. And it was the first time I ever recorded myself actually just like alone. So what I would do is like, I would record something and then I would send like a reference to Rocky and he would like produce it and all of the things. Like we were having FaceTime sessions like for a year straight for the project, which is pretty impressive. I even shocked myself because I'm like, I wasn't expecting, like we were working on one song, but I didn't expect it to turn into a whole EP.
Yeah.
So that was
how intimate. I love
right?
How
yeah,
Pluto.
It's very Pluto. And it's funny because like I didn't even realize that this, so being in Cleveland, I'm on my Sun MC, I think it's the Sun Pluto. Yes, yeah, I'm on my Sun Pluto line in Cleveland, which is my hometown. So it's just kind of interesting how like the project is called Pluto and it has that same theme and I'm on that line here. And yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Like it's all tied in together.
Yeah, and the intimate clips that you put in, like I'm telling you, the first time I heard it, obviously for me, it's just, you know, wow. But it really does tie with Pluto as well.
It does.
It also represents, you know, that. So
yeah, because I think I got the inspiration from titling it Pluto also because Pluto will be in Aquarius for, was it like 20 years? And so, you know, that's going to affect all of my, that's going to affect my Mercury, my Venus, Jupiter, Uranus, and my Sun. So that's a lot of impact. That's a lot of Pluto energy in my chart. And so I got that inspiration from that. And I'm like, I already kind of felt the transitions happening a little bit, even a little last year. But I'm like, you know what? I feel like this all kind of fits. And it just came naturally. Like, I don't know what the original name or it was going to be. I have no idea, but
yeah,
it just
alignment. And it's too, it's so funny. I was just saying earlier this week about how our connection to Saturn returns and our understanding of Saturn has been kind of expanded collectively in the last few years. Because everyone's kind of aware, like with Saturn. And I think it's cool how artists like you are bringing projects to explain it in a different way, a planet in a different way. So it's like, I think Pluto is emerging, like, because people are hearing Pluto Aquarius, like, what the hell does that mean? Like, what does it apply? How does it, what does it mean for me or collectively? So definitely ahead of your time, Aquarian energy in general, but with Pluto, just kind of understanding it with music, that's just the perfect touch. Yeah.
So talk a little bit about Pluto and Aquarius. When I first heard about it, I was like, wait, I don't know much about, I don't know much about Pluto or Pluto being an Aquarius at all. So as I was doing research, I'm like, it was a lot of like fear mongering around it too. So I was like, I don't know anything about this transit. I don't know how it's going to affect me or the transformation that I'm going through. And so like me being the person that I am, I always like to just understand things a little bit. But yeah, when I was looking for information, I'm like, there was just a lot of fear around it. But experiencing it in its beginning phases, I'm like, I can see the impact that it has, like as far as pushing me to like just this new level of like this power and being so sure within myself, confidence and all of that. So
yeah.
About to translate all of your inner planets.
So, right?
Like a lot of your immediate personality is about to
A whole new life. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it's for all of us, you know, like just uprooting. I think we all feel like, again, before the call started, just remember us talking about how calling in something new, different, something that hasn't been done before. I think that's the collective calling for everybody right now. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I'm like, mm-hmm. we're already kind of seeing the shift too, even when it comes to like the industry and music and just seeing how mm-hmm. just like the status of celebrity and just all these, like the music industry and just the entertainment industry in general, how all of that is like starting to change and it's being more focused on like the people and the collective. And we see that impact with Pluto and Aquarius already. And it's already just like the beginning stages of it.
Yeah. So. And I too, like with, as an Aquarian and as to having so many Aquarian places, do you see like the trends already starting, the new trends?
Yeah, a lot. So one thing that I really noticed is that you really have to, like before, a lot of things were like focused on just like status and just appearing to be this certain way and to like, you know, just all of that real cliche celebrity stuff, right? But now it's mm-hmm. being focused more on like the people, like what are you offering to the people? Like, how are you making people feel? How are you impacting people on a more personal level? So going into this project, I'm like, I know this is for me, but mm-hmm. I want my message to be so clear that it impacts people in a different way on a more personal and intimate level than just, you know, just putting music out to go viral.
Yeah. And it's also something about the numbers too. Yeah. It's like something about the numbers, like numbers won't count anymore. Like everyone's not even going to care about like any type of numbering system.
Y'all say, y'all know this year, the truth coming back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really thrive. Yeah.
This is a, this is a Saturn year too, right? I think mm-hmm.
It's an 8 year.
Yeah.
Like a lot of what we put in is coming right back. Like a lot of karmic energy in this year, a lot of what you've worked for, no matter in what capacity, the last 7 years, really, like whatever you've been kind of gearing up toward, whatever you feel like you've been building, mm-hmm. you're gonna see more reward this year with that,
like fruition.
I think we can see others too, other the way everything is kind of returning, like politically, there's everything, the return mm-hmm. on what people have kind of done, or like it's like justice is trying to be, it will be served for sure. Mm-hmm. But I think that's like definitely the push. It started really, I think you saw the heighten of it with Saturn and Aquarius, Saturn, the Great Conjunction.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, it's, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely see it already. And it's, I know for me, I'm like, so I've always known that I wanted to do music and, you know, mm-hmm. be in entertainment. And it makes sense as to like waiting until I'm at this point in my life to fully push and be into that energy, because I don't think I would have ever been prepared before. Like, because, you know, I'm supposed to do it differently. I realize mm-hmm. that now I'm not supposed to follow the status quo. I know that about myself now. And so it's mm-hmm. interesting now that things are changing. And so now also as an Aquarius, like we kind of like when things are a little different too. So now the energy is kind of changing a little bit. It feels more comfortable for me. So mm-hmm. versus than what it was before. So like, you know, before, like you said, like a lot of things, you know, people are trying to go viral and they're just trying to have a moment. Whereas mm-hmm. like, I want to be able to create legacy. I want to create art I want it to have meaning, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think too, it's so interesting, artists like, I don't know, Tinashe or other Aquarian artists I'm seeing, or even Saturnian people and just in general, I think you guys, because you're still willing to do the work regardless of how it looks, I think mm-hmm. you're always gonna, you know, feel the pull and the calling into like what you really and truly want to put the work for. Yeah. It's like, are we working aimlessly or are we working towards something, you know, that's satisfying?
They're very much putting fresh
reserve
and like in a path that hasn't been traveled yet. So mm-hmm. you just working close with so many artists, the ones that are like meant to change, challenge the norms and kind of mm-hmm. excel us to the next level. Like, it's a little bit of discomfort that comes with just paving a new path that's never been done before. You don't really got anybody to look at as a roadmap. Like, you kind of just out there with both feet in the water. So mm-hmm. that's what this project has been too. It's just jumping out there, creating some new shit. And I love it.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, listening to even your work and just the, mm-hmm. again, like, you guys created a world, which is so cool. But, of course, with the sound, I noticed a lot of, like, breakdowns toward the end of a lot of the tracks. Like, is that the melodic, like, the tone and everything, did that also play into, like, the visuals? Because it also feels so fluid with the visuals.
Yeah, I think, so even with, like, that process of just creating the beats, so yeah. Rocky and I would be like on the phone and we would be doing a session. And mm-hmm. some of those breakdowns would come from previous beats that he created. So he'll create a beat and I'll be like, oh, okay, like we'll push that one to the side. But then like he'll create another one and I'm like, oh, let's go back to that other one and let's take that piece that you did and mm-hmm. like let's kind of transition that into the breakdown. And I love mm-hmm. a good breakdown. I don't know what it is about just kind of like just changing the tone and the vibe of it, but also keeping it short. Because I feel like also too, when I listen to music, I kind of like that feel to the song because then it's like, oh my God, I want to go back and listen to it. Like I want to listen to it more and more and more.
And that's, I think, what makes it so worldly too. Aquarian placements, you guys create this world in general. But I love how Rocky's, like his gift of creating that sound tied with yours. Now when people listen to it, it's like you can also detect, I think generally nobody is trying to feel the root chakra is heavy anymore. People are trying to lift with this mm-hmm. new incoming energy. So you feel like more dance, more called to dance music, more called to kind of like just sonically healing music, like, and things that just make you want to move in a lighter way. So I think that this sound is just so worldly. I say it all the time when I travel, how the frequency with music changes. And I really appreciate it with both of you guys, so with your voice and then also with Rocky's like, tones and colors, like it just felt so like fluid, like you could mix it with something else. I think that's why even I was like, would you even like, you know, remix it, beat it, or I don't even know, but
yes,
it just sounds so good. Like I actually sent it to a producer in Ghana. He's like work with Amare. Yeah, I was like, no, yeah, I need you to mix this with something. Like I told him, I was like, I don't know what. I literally did.
Yeah, we were looking at the analytics and a lot of those Afrobeat countries and like Caribbean countries, they're playing the hell out of it.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, your sound is so worldly. Like it's definitely like, you know, past the whole like, again, that the chakra, you know what it is. You know what the frequencies are affecting. But yeah, like it's definitely more of that, I feel, in the center of the world toward Asia and all that. Like the nightlife, I think, is so fun because the music that they're playing,
I love that. Yeah, it's interesting because Audiomack is a platform that's like, you know, they really support independent artists. And I actually got playlisted on their like official pop playlist a couple different times. Cool. Yeah, love and it's funny because like some of the platforms like Spotify and Apple Music, it can feel a little like harder to get playlisted on those platforms. Mm-hmm. But then you have platforms mm-hmm. like Audiomack where like we're focused on independent artists. Like we want to hear new music. And actually, I think the VP of, I forget, mm-hmm. he's a VP in some department of the company.
Oh, love that.
But his name is Brian, and he actually helps, like, if you follow him on Twitter, he gives out, like, mm-hmm. all these different tips and facts. And nice. He also helped me set up my official audio profile. So I just emailed him, and he just, like, reached out and, like, helped me set up everything. So it's things like that that I really appreciate.
And where is that based? Where is Audiomack based?
I'm not sure. I don't know if they're based in like New York. I thought I saw something because I was looking for jobs. So I don't know if they're like based in like New York or I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love that platform. So mm-hmm.
That's definitely another future note. Maybe there'll be more platforms like that. Because I think that's why TikTok was such a boost with music, because we had finally a place where people could just upload whatever and they create videos to it. And it's quick. Yep. It's easy to see. And a lot of like Pink Panthers, a lot of artists like came from that that platform. And I think there will be, like I said, more
with that. Yeah, you're starting to see where it used to be where the music, or even just beyond music, but like the product and the craft and the talent that was put into the product was the main thing of importance. And now we're starting to see how that artist is expressing it, how their story is being told and how they're communicating. It's like a two-way communication, how the world is communicating back to them. Like that whole process is just as important as the actual song. So
definitely,
with apps like TikTok, like you can catch a wave just from having a line of communication between you and the people, and then the music just amplifies on top of that. That's kind of like new for this industry. Like we're headed more towards that.
Yeah, I definitely found that with just even on Instagram. So I will be posting something and there wasn't really a lot of engagement, but then as I started to like ask questions and I started to engage people, like people were actually responding. Like a lot of my email list, I was just like, hey, who wants information about this? Okay, just send me your email. I'll DM you. I'll do this, you know, just reach out to you. And they would send me their emails and talk to me and just have conversations. So I realized that like once I had a connection with the person who was listening to my music or, you know, engaging with my art, I think it just made that much of a bigger impact. And you kind of like build relationships that way too. So you actually have real fans and not just like followers or people who are just lurking around on social media. Like they're actually supporting your music and they're supporting your art.
Exactly. Which makes me think of another Gemini, Prince, who's very big on that. Prince had the underground music scene on lock in the 90s, like 80s, like they would create certain circles online where they would trade music that because he was making music all the time. Like there's still like unreleased songs from Brent. So it was really an experience. And I keep saying, I think there's going to be like a peekaboo back into that, where we see artists creating like this really just underground, selective, just, you know, very exclusive energy, which is, I think, what people really crave deep down right now. it's getting a little robotic
and we're called culture comes from like niche communities. So like the fact that we can find those communities and like get back to the organic culture is better than when everybody's just trying to make the vague pop thing that's appealing to the largest amount of people. Like that.
Yeah, and it actually creates opportunity for more people, you know?
Yeah.
It takes away from just one specific or group of, you know, not
bad. Like you see what just happened with like Kendrick. Like
they ain't trying to be nobody but themselves.
Yeah, like
exactly.
Kendrick just popped out and was like, you know what? This is for the culture. We're gonna include
another Gemini. Like,
yeah, another Gemini. Gemini's are always ahead of the curve.
Best.
I love Gemini. You guys.
Me too.
Yeah.
So I think connection is going to take precedence, like especially moving forward with Pluto and Aquarius, and then that makes a lot of sense too. Like, I mean, Aquarian is about the collective, so I think just focusing on connecting with people and building that, I think that's so important. But like going back to what you said about sound, so we'll go into like the first track of the project, which is The End. And The End is like this very, it's like dark. It's kind of dark. And even the visual is dark, but I like it. So I remember writing the song. I was like going through something really heavy and I remember writing the song, but I remember Rocky produced it and he was like playing keys and he loves playing in minor.
It's the only way I hear music. I hear everything and
so he was like playing in the minor and the key, and then he was like, it was just dark and I was like, I like this.
I was so glad that she was in a much darker space making this album, because we made Element, which it has its dark elements too, but she was more, even especially with her dance music, it was more like on some cute, like girlier. And this time around, it's even more grown, and it's a lot of darkness in there, and that's where I live, so I love it.
Have you heard the Element EP?
The first one, I actually downloaded it. I don't know if I can remember. I listened, but I don't remember tracks from it. But I definitely listened to Pluto. Yeah,
we recorded that project in 2019. Was it? I think it was like 2019-ish, 2018,
2019. I bet 18.
Yeah, I think it was 18. And then we finally like pushed it in 2019. And then I did a couple visuals for it. But I just remember that project. Like, I was also going through some stuff. And so a lot of like towards the end of the project were a lot of like my R&B moody songs. But it was kind of like light. It was a little lighter. And I was young too. So Pluto was just, like he said, like real grown energy. I was just like very, especially with the end, I was very just vulnerable in there, playing around with different sounds like that. I think we were like inspired by some classical music too with the end. And I currently work in classical music too. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
What I do remember from that project are your visuals, like your eye for color. It's just very impressive. And then like your visuals just in general, I love the visualizers you do even now, the sultriness of them.
Yeah.
But even the one from, it was just so, the color was so fun and it was so galactic. Mary speaks.
Yes.
So I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I was just thinking, I'm like, I don't really know what my style is yet as far as visuals, but I know that that's like in the realm of it. Like one of my favorite films ever is The Wiz. So in my favorite scene of The Wiz was when they went to Emerald City, and it started off green, and then it was I watched that movie.
Gold?
Yeah, it was like it was green, then it went to red, and then it went to gold.
Yes.
And you just have all these people just like, oh, it was so beautiful. Like I'll always remember that scene. So that's where a lot of my inspiration came from as far as just like playing with colors and like full
that
production.
That is so cool to know. Wow. I can see that.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. I actually just watched The Wiz with my son like last
week.
Literally.
This
is so much better than Wizard of Oz. So much better.
It just has that, it's that soul. It just has that,
flavor.
It got some flavor
Michael,
to it.
It's Michael. Like, entire girls, are you kidding me? Like, please.
Yeah, the costuming, everything.
Oh my God. Oh,
it's just, it really inspired me too. Just even with like Element, I remember filming Element, and I found this museum in Columbus, and I just called them and I'm like, hey, like, do you mind if I film this here? And they're like, well, it'll probably be expensive to rent, but you can just pay like the $20 for entry and you just have to shoot it while people are there. And I'm like, okay, fine.
So
we figured out a way to like work around that. And I think that budget for that video, which it looked like a high budget, but it was really like,
it definitely does.
It was maybe $500, $600 total for that whole budget. Cause I'm, I'm like, I don't have a big budget.
Trust me, I get it.
I think, and it's funny too, all of my visuals, all of my big projects are like out of pocket. So like I've always worked a full-time job, and every 2 weeks I would just take money out and put it aside so I can fund my craft. So.
Exactly. I'm there with you. I totally get it. It's the same with the jewelry, like funding it. Doing it because you love it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's funny because you'll see like what you can get creative with such a small budget.
Exactly, because you have to make it work.
Exactly, and you're going to because you love what you do, so.
Exactly.
Yeah, but The End, it's definitely one of my favorite songs, very moody. I think the visualizer has like quite a few views on YouTube right now.
It's great. It's really great. The color, the repetitiveness of it. Like, I just love where you guys repeat it. It was perfect.
Yeah, I had my photographer that I usually work with. She actually, this was like her first time really like doing visualizers. So I think we shot a total of 8 for the whole project, and we shot it on 2 different days within like maybe 4 hours. So nice. Yeah, I think it might have been less than that. But right. So we shot about 8. Actually, we shot maybe 9. We shot one that we didn't use. We shot a whole visual that we didn't use. So we still have one in the chamber. But yeah, that was like her first time. And so I was also kind of like directing from, you know, just being in front of the camera. And I was just like trusting her with her vision and how she would move the camera and things. And I edited all of them too. So like afterwards, I'm like, I don't want to have her like edit all these visuals. It was so much footage. So I was like, you know what?
Right.
Experiment. And so I just started looking up like, I started looking up like music videos. I started watching films and I'm like, let me see how they're editing like their different scenes and things. So I just started to like do a deep dive, and I'm a film girl. So I just did a deep dive into different styles of just like shooting and everything. And so, yeah, that was like, I have a whole mood board, which when I edit this video, I'm going to like put like, you know, screenshots and things. But I did a whole mood board on Pinterest. Love Pinterest. And I
love
just,
Pinterest.
Yes, me too. And I just create visual decks and I send it to my team and we just go from there. So
yes, the vision is there. The vision is there for sure.
Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was the end. The end transitions into Omen.
How many and songs are we talking about today?
I don't know. All of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I guess we could talk about all of them.
I thought you broke it up.
No, I'll cut and everything. But this is going to be, just going to talk about all of them. But we'll go into, so Omen is one of my favorite songs. Actually, when I put that song out, everybody was like, oh my God, this is so cool. This is different.
I was going to say Omen. Yeah. I love that. And I actually really love Bad For You too. That song is just, I know that was a previous release. I think you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was my first single actually.
Omen is one of the joints that, didn't people tell us like it was low key I'm a piano.
Somebody said it was I'm a piano.
I hear it. I'm just like, somebody needs to do something. Like, I can't.
And when I was listening to it, I'm like, okay, let me listen to it again. But I was listening to the drums and the instruments, and I was like, this could classify as I'm a piano. But it's interesting because I've never heard any like I'm a piano that is like that sounds like that. But
and so okay, so that's kind of like the main thing too. I think everybody's experiencing a change in the music world, this fusion of the sound that's happening even with Afrobeats. Like so many artists even in after like, hey, like I'm still influenced by American artists. Like I have a sound brewing that's different than just the typical Afrobeat that was 10 years ago.
Hearing a lot of different Afrobeats right now.
Yes, and it's going to be more of that fusion, the more of us that we travel and meet, like connect, and it's just, and it's so funny, like so music is so big in Africa, like how could it not be, right?
Exactly.
Many people are streaming in Africa.
I love Omen. My favorite thing about Omen is that it's very minimal.
Mm-hmm.
It's the bass carries you and makes you dance, and with the some of the rhythmic percussions like the congos, and then the vocal is very the vocal is like leading the story, and then the music is kind of just complimenting the vocal. It's not too much going on.
One of my favorite things to do when I hear a beat, especially like that. So my favorite types of beats are dance. Like I love drums. I love electronic music, house music. That's my favorite type of music to listen to. It's my favorite type of music to make. And so I feel like it's easy because a lot of my foundation as far as like my vocals and my sound is R&B. So I'm able to kind of take that and incorporate it into that dance and that electronic. And so it's like a fusion of like R&B and rhythm and dance. And so I just like to ride the beat because I can just mm-hmm. like, it has a feel to it. So it's like, and then I can just go ahead and just sing to it. So
yes, that intro is crazy. Like literally the first like 5 little 4 seconds of the darting with the sound. Oh my God. It's, mm-hmm. so, it's gold. You think that was all Rocky Reed. So that was, yeah, all the beat.
The intro part. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's so
yeah,
good.
It was. So I was technically making most of the, or all of the beats. She made a few of the, she made some instruments on like 3 of the songs.
Mm-hmm.
Even the ones that I produced, she low-key co-produced them, pretty much all of them, because mm-hmm. we were making music so on FaceTime cool. together. So
cool.
Yeah, yeah, and so
it was a lot of tracks and things that I was doing that just wasn't resonating with her. So what we got, 9 tracks. Mm-hmm. We probably made like 30 or something beats, and 9 of them made it to the final cut. So it was mm-hmm. a process for sure.
Yeah, I would be listening to, like, he'll do a sound. And it's funny, in the beginning, I wasn't really familiar with, like, a lot of the language or how to communicate to him. So mm-hmm. I would just, like, have to sing it, or I'll have to try to mimic the sound in some type of way. And in the beginning, I was like, oh, my God, he's probably so tired of me. I'm like, I don't know what I'm saying or how to communicate it. So I was just, like, trying my best. But as we went on throughout the project, I was learning. Like, you could see me actually learning. And I was taking time to create some like different loops and just like kind of learning production on my end so that I could like communicate a little bit better. But yeah, it was pretty cool. Like he would just play something. I'm like, like let's pitch that up a little bit, or like, let's change that instrument to this instrument, or, and he would just, you know,
and it only gets better the more you guys mm-hmm. do that. So cool. Yeah, I was just
by the time we got, this is the first time we worked through FaceTime. So by the time we, mm-hmm. got toward the end of the project, we kind of, our communication was, we started to understand each other a little more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, we did real bad.
I love that. No, seriously.
Yeah, I just remember.
I recently learned that Billie Eilish and her brother work together on all of her
mm-hmm.
music.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's just, yeah, when you have that and you're able to build, it's everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. like the, so going back to the end, that's the root chakra. Omen is the third eye chakra. And then, mm-hmm. so going into surrender is the solar plexus. So surrender was the first song that I did. And mm-hmm. I remember Rocky made this beat. So I think he made like maybe 2 other beats before, but he made this beat, and then I sang on it and I sent him the reference, and he was like, he was like, you need to do it naturally. Like, it sounded like I was just trying to sing this song. And he was like, no, he was like, go do it over. And he's very transparent with me too. Like, if it sounds mm-hmm. terrible, he's gonna tell me.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, he's going to tell me. So, and it's a lot of like constructive criticism too, because he's also patient too. He'll say like, oh, I see the vision. Like, let me see what else you do with it. Like, but this one, I went back and did it again, and I sent him another reference, and he was like that, just like that. Mm-hmm. And so that was the first song that we did. And I think it was July. I think it was July of 2023. And once we did that song, I didn't realize, like, I'm like, I didn't know that I had a lot to say. Like, just before we started working together, because we've been friends for a few years, but we had just reconnected last year. And mm-hmm. before that, though, like, I wasn't working on music. I took a very long hiatus from music. So I think I started learning how to produce before I got back into actually, like, making my own music. So I was, like, taking courses and, you know, just, like, learning on YouTube, like, slowly but surely getting myself back into it. I didn't really feel like I had much to say at all. And I didn't feel like I feel like my throat chakra was blocked.
So, yeah. And I'm, you like, were like, rap, it's a rap, really?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It was. Well, because like so what was supposed to be my second EP got scrapped mm-hmm. by the last producer I worked with. And it was.
That was called Saturn.
It was called Saturn.
Really?
And it was during.
Look at you, Matt. Look at that.
And it was during, I think in 2020, I think Saturn was like an Aquarius or something. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, we're gonna call it Saturn. And then that project got completely scrapped. And then also like that year I lost my great grandfather. And the year before that I lost my great grandmother. So just having that back to back, and then also something that I love so much, which was, you know, music, having that just completely scrap. And then I had like, sinus surgery that year. I was just like, this is too much for me. Like,
oh wow.
It was just too much. And so I just took a break for 2 years and I'm like, I'm not doing music anymore. I'm cool. But then somehow it always comes back. Like if it's meant to be, it always comes back, and it came back to me. And that first song, Surrender.
Like 6 times.
Huh?
I quit music like 6 times.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's always gonna come back.
It's always people that say they retire and they never actually really retire.
You can always do it.
Yeah. But yeah, Surrender.
You know, at one point I said I was going to stop doing readings too.
Mm-hmm. Girl.
And it's crazy because we're talking about a song called Surrender. And that's what happens, is you just got to surrender to whatever that is that you're trying to run from. It's like, no. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, it's funny because within those years that I like stopped music, I did everything under the sun. I had a jewelry company. I did websites, and I was like this chief branding officer of my own company doing branding work. I was a photographer. I was doing literally everything under the sun to avoid music. I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. Like, I'm going to go find something else that I love. So, and it's funny, like I was like, none of this is making me feel complete. It's not making me happy. I don't feel satisfied. I was like, I'm taking up space in these other spaces mm-hmm. that could be for other people. So, and just, it's funny how it all worked out, because music came back around and I'm like, all right, fine. I'm like, fine. I'm just going to surrender to it. I'm just going to allow myself to be led at this point. And led me here to create a cool project. So surrender.
Wow, now that song has so much meaning. Wow.
Yeah, it does. And so that's pretty much what the meaning of that song was just surrendering to change, surrendering to that transformation. And Pluto has a theme. So it goes from like, you know, death, transformation, and rebirth. So the first half of the project is like that death of the old self, that transformation part. And then going into the second half of the project is that rebirth. So it's just mm-hmm. all of those things.
Like the Phoenix energy. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. So surrender is solar plexus, and then it goes into the interlude of my great grandfather. And I'm not gonna cry because I'm trying not to cry.
So emotional, literally. The first time I heard it, I definitely cried.
Yeah.
So, and what he says, I think he even mm-hmm. says something about like, don't let something destroy you. Yeah. Right?
Yep, keep your voice.
And that's Pluto. Mm-hmm. Like, don't let your own power even destroy you.
Yeah, and my great-grandfather is the matriarch of our family. So he was the only male of the family.
What was his sign? I'm sorry to ask.
Virgo. It was my Virgo. I know. It was my Virgo.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and my great-grandmother was a Pisces. So they were just
the axis, yeah.
Yeah, they were just a power couple. But I grew up with that example. Like, they just loved each other so much, and never saw them really just get into arguments or anything. Mm-hmm. There was just so much love between them. And they had, it was 10 of us at one point, and he was the only male of the family, and it was all women. So we were just all just into music. He just introduced us to so many different things, from photography to, like, he was just an explorer. So he always shared that with his family. Actually that voice recording was when I showed him my EP Element. So he had listened to it and he was like, I like it. He was like, I like your music. Like, I wonder what's next. And you can kind of hear that in the recording. And it's interesting how this was next. So yeah, it has a lot of sentimental
Very
value.
Tender. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Literally so sweet.
Yeah. And so I wanted to put that as the interlude going into that rebirth, because you know, those words that he said, like, they always stick with me. And I have other voice recordings of him too. Mm-hmm. But that one just felt like it, you know, was very cohesive with the project.
Definitely was. Definitely was mm-hmm. that glue to the next chapter. Yeah. And that tribute is so, like, you, I'm sure you know, it's just so spiritual.
Very, very. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I definitely, I know, like, when he passed, our family was like, oh my gosh, like, this is that, he's the person, like, he's the glue of our family. But, mm-hmm. you know, me being the spiritual person that I am, it was kind of a little bit easier for me experiencing his transition, because I felt his energy always, and I carried that with me. And so mm-hmm. just in everything that I do, I'm like, what would my great grandfather do? Like, what would he say? Yeah. How would he handle this thing? And so he was just a very honorable, very gentle and caring man. And he just loved people. And I valued that a lot. So I carry that with me.
Yes. Oh, I love it.
Yeah. And talented too. That's why I'm into music so bad. Like, he would go and
pick yes. up
voice lessons.
So, oh, I love it. And then also we always say, I guess the older music, I mean, it's just so many things that have already been created that we can, I mean, it's not even just about what's next sometimes even. It's like, what can we even go back and listen to and relearn mm-hmm. and understand again? So I love that our elders mm-hmm. can put us on to what they experienced in their time. And
yeah,
it carries. It carries for sure. Because I can for sure say I'm listening to, you know, musics from then still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the reason. He's the reason why I actually, you know, love and appreciate classical music. So it's funny that I'm in classical music now, but before I was younger and we would all get in the van and we would go to different places, go to parks. We would go pick my great grandmother up from work from downtown, and he would always play classical music. And we're like, we don't want to hear this. We want to listen to 107.9. We want to listen to hip hop. We want to listen to this. And we just never really appreciated or understood that, like, he would just always play the classical music station. And I'm like, but now yes. that I hear it more, I just feel so connected to him, because I'm like, he introduced this genre of music, and I just have mm-hmm. such an appreciation for it. Because I mean, you think about classical music, it's, you have all these instruments and just
everything. It lights up the brain.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. I just ran across Indian classical music, and I'm like, this, like, I just went down this hole.
See?
It's nice. Wow. It's really nice. But yeah. it also introduces you to so many different sounds. So that's one thing that I can say about Pluto too, is that we just incorporated all these different sounds, from classical music to dance music to some African tribal music. Like, we just incorporated all these different instruments to create this fusion of sounds. So
definitely yeah. I can hear it, and I'm sure everyone else can. I think that's why, again, it's worldly.
Yeah,
it's definitely some worldliness in there for sure. Got something great.
Yeah, we
that
mm-hmm. And you know, also Pluto is in retrograde right now.
So it is
dancing. Yeah, it's dancing back through Aquarius, but then it's going to hit Capricorn again.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, mid-October, it goes forward again.
Yeah.
I can't remember the date. But yeah, it goes forward again. And then we're going to be moving back and toward Aquarius rule. So next year, for sure, like, all year, Pluto and Aquarius energy. Straightforward. No retrograde.
Yeah, I keep hearing this is like a preview year, especially for, like, Aquarius mm-hmm. placement. And so it's like mm-hmm. a preview year. And I'm like,
you've laid some seeds. Like, this is a seed for sure.
Mm-hmm. Just mm-hmm. all the seeds that I've been planting and everything. And I'm like, if this is a preview year, I'm very interested to see.
Yeah.
Even if you just
look at tech right now, we're mm-hmm. about to be in a whole nother world. Like, this, mm-hmm. this shift about to be different.
Definitely.
That's what I love, like, it.
It's yeah. This is what the new we were waiting for, the new we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
The never before seen. And I think all of us have to adapt. We're gonna have to adapt very quickly to a lot of technologies, and that takes a fresh brain, a brain that's not fried, you know. So mm-hmm. it's gonna be the battle of the intellectuals too, I think, with Pluto and Aquarius. That's totally like nerd energy.
Mm-hmm. We won't have a problem.
Like, what do you know? Like, what do you know?
Tell us, like, nerds. Not,
yeah, it's like, Nam, how much do you have? What do you know?
That's what mm-hmm. I mean.
Yes.
Yeah, every time we talk, I love Geminis, because any Gemini that I talk to is just such nerd intellectual mm-hmm. energy. Like, yeah. Me and Rocky, even aside from, like, music, we'll just be on the phone talking about just, like, random just random stuff, just doing deep dives into sci-fi and just all these different things.
Yes, mercurial themes. Yes,
absolutely.
Gemini. I mean, you know, Gemini and Virgo energy is the ruled by the Mercury.
So. Yeah. What's your always Christmas, Adonis?
I'm a Virgo.
Okay,
what but about my moon is Sagittarius. My rising is Sagittarius. I have a Leo Venus, and then my Saturn is an Aquarius. It's the outer planet, but I have a lot of asteroids. The funny thing about me is I have a lot of interesting asteroid placements. Mm-hmm. That just opened up a whole nother can of worms when we started. But a lot of them are in like Aquarius, Leo.
Yeah, my main have been Sagittarius, so I love
that. Wow, yeah, definitely.
So, my 8th house is blend. Sag.
Mm-hmm. Really? Yeah. That's okay. Got it. Yeah, my moon makes sense right there.
Yeah, she's helping y'all.
What did you say, Rafi?
Her Sag placements are in your 8th house of transformation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Rocky is an Aquarius rising too, which is so funny because like it just makes this whole project
makes it work. Yeah, I was gonna say, I know you have Aquarian placements too, right?
My chart is Saturn. I have 4 planets in Capricorn, but they're in the 11th house, which is Aquarius.
Okay.
And Saturn is one of them. So my ascendant is Aquarius. Its ruler is in the 11th house in Capricorn.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. So your whole thing with networking, like placement, you're very particular about who you work with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you're not going to work with anybody.
Nope. I'm very selective.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. His sun is in my 2nd house, and his moon. You have a Capricorn moon, right?
Yeah.
That Capricorn moon is in my 9th house and 10th house. Mm. Yeah.
Growing resources definitely was supposed to link you guys for sure.
We have air sign suns with stelliums in there, and then we have earth sign moons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that understanding, that meticulous like energy is there too, so you can break down things together. Mm-hmm. It's actually really good synergy, guys, for creating.
It is. You can definitely tell when we're creating too. Like it's just a lot of like, we just understand each other on that level where it just doesn't even take a lot of work. We just kind of like telepathy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the best. Seriously. Yeah. That's the best. And I always say like Aquarians remind me of like spies. Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't you call me that before, Rocky? You might have said something different, but it was along that line.
Investigator or some shit.
Yeah, he called me like a PI.
Wow.
That's so funny. Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah. But going into the rebirth part of the project, that's where I talked to, like we did the song Rebirth. That was where I was like rapping a little bit and
I
kind of switched it up. I was talking my shit. And it was funny. So that night he sent the beat that night while I was asleep. And so we're on a 3-hour time difference. So he sent the beat and then I woke up at like maybe 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning and I'm like just listening to it. And I was like, oh, I like this. And so I'm just typing in my phone, just typing the lyrics. And then I just get up and I just start recording.
Wow.
and actually the rapping part was the first take. Like that was the first take. I didn't re-record it. I tried to re-record it. It didn't feel natural. Nothing. That was just the first take.
So, it'd be like that sometimes.
I know,
sometimes
right?
You gotta keep the raw cut. Like, it's,
It was just,
So that was full energy. Yeah.
That was full.
A lot of songs were like that too. Mm-hmm. Where I was sending her something late night my time. So like, she's later than me. So she'll be asleep when I send it to her.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she wake up and record it, I'll be asleep. So I'll send her something and then I'll wake up the next day and it'll be like done.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
So it was just like back and forth. Yeah. So Rebirth was definitely like that. I was like, oh, I just wrote a diss track. I'm like, you gonna like this one. But I felt the need to like talk my shit because like I'm just a very cool, calm, collected person for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, there's a lot of things that I had on my chest that I wanted to say or that I felt like I should say. But like, I'm not a very like super confrontational when it comes to just things in the moment. But I'm like, let me just take all that energy in those moments that I didn't say what I really wanted to say. And let me just bottle it up.
The whole album is, this whole album is because she's in her villain era.
Literally, I was going to say, yeah. When you think about the Phoenix, like when the Phoenix comes up, the first thing is that fire that comes out. Mm-hmm. So that also is just that tied to that. Like,
I didn't think about that.
I didn't think about that either. Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the energy that I'm in too. Like, you know, I mean, villain era, it kind of like some people can, you know, it might have a negative connotation to some. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's just like taking that power back. Like, you know, mm-hmm. feeling like you had that power stripped away from you, but just getting back into that energy and just being in it and just being like who you are and who you're meant to be. That's really what
welcome
this project
to the dark
is.
Side.
Welcome to the dark side.
Yeah, welcome to the
world. Yeah. And so I actually have a whole Pinterest mood board with probably like mm-hmm. probably over like maybe 400 pictures in it that I was just saving throughout the year. And it's titled The Villain. So it's just all these like colors and just all these different things, and it was just like I'm keeping that energy.
Yeah,
oh, you want to see it?
Right.
Oh, how could you not send me the villain Pinterest?
I know. I was keeping it to myself.
I know, because honestly, I feel like I'm in my villain era too. So
let's go.
Yes.
Yeah, share. Yeah. Definitely.
I will definitely share it. This is one of my favorites for sure. But yeah, this rebirth, even the visual, like the visual. So I actually created a whole deck for a short film. So Pluto was mm-hmm. supposed to be a short film, it didn't turn out that way. But like I wrote a script for every single song from like top to bottom. So, but Rebirth, I'm like, which two songs do I want to like for them to be the singles on the project and doing the music videos? So mm-hmm. we connected with my photographer or videographer who did Element, and he lives out in LA too. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to take a trip to LA. We're going to connect. Rocky definitely like he helped and came in and doing behind the scenes. He was doing directing, assisting on the set assistant. Like he really just showed up and just put on all the hats.
Wow.
So we shot Rebirth first. So I got there on like a Monday. Did I get there on a Monday? I got there. It was Canadian Thanksgiving. That's all I remember was the day that I got there.
Yeah, true.
Because mm-hmm. I got off the plane and I went to his friend's house, who's Canadian, and they had like a whole. Yeah, shout out to Braden. He had like a whole dinner for me ready when I got off the plane, which I love so much.
Love that.
So that next day we went to go shoot Bad For You, and we shot that within like maybe three hours, I think. That was all I could afford at the time. Mm-hmm. So we shot in 3 hours, and then the next day we shot Bad For You. So the first one was Rebirth, the second one was Bad For You. And so each day we shot those in 3 hours each. Yeah. And we went to go pick up lighting. I did my hair, my own hair and makeup and styling, and it was just a real like DIY, but we made it work. Rebirth was like one of my favorites because it was the sets were already kind of set. We just got mm-hmm. on PureSpace and we looked at some of these different like spaces that they had, and this one just had different scenes and different rooms, and I'm like, this is perfect. So we just shot
and then,
each scene.
And then LA, like just even shooting in LA, I'm sure it's the difference you felt being there. Did that also like allude to like the Plutonian vibes?
Mm-hmm. I love LA. Yeah. It was so easy. Like my energy in LA is already very just like harmonious. So mm-hmm. being out there and creating, it just is constant. So like us just showing up on set and just working, also working with my home team too, because my videographer and Rocky are both from Cleveland. So even the guy Banky, he starred in Rebirth as
too.
The villain. And Anthony, who starred in Bad For You, they're all from Cleveland. So
wow,
yeah,
they're really like, showing love. I love that.
Yeah, I know, right? So I was like, well, Rocky also played the casting director as well. So shout out to you, Rocky. shout out to you.
Yeah.
Put me to work.
You know how there's like Barbies and Barbie has like different jobs. Mm-hmm. That was Rocky.
Oh my god.
That's a new one. Haven't been called Barbie before.
Yeah, it was the most Gemini thing I've ever heard in my life.
Facts.
You know, Barbie. Yeah, I think Barbie was a Gemini.
She might have been.
She probably was because I was born to multitask. It's actually a curse. Like it's a gift and a curse.
Dang.
I'll be all over the place. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like you did a very good job too. Like he was just doing all the things.
We were yelling at each other too.
We were a little bit. I was just like, I think Bad for You might have been a little worse than Rebirth. Rebirth felt like it was a little.
Cool. Yeah, one of them. Yeah, I think it was Bad for You, or whichever one it was. But yeah, it ain't a masterpiece unless you yell at each other a little bit.
Yeah. So. So the Bad For You video, going into Bad For You, that was my first single. And that one was just, I wanted it to be dark, but I wanted it to be dancing. Mm-hmm. Like I wanted it to be villainous. But
it was very like, I'm sure anyone with an ear would be like, who is that? That type of song. Like that was, the low tones you're using even felt very like she's here, that type of thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very confident sound.
I love that sound. I love the sound. I love the beat, the song. So it started when we first made the beat. It actually had lasers in it. What song did we listen to? I think it was like by Deftones. I think the intro was like Deftones.
With like some little Atari laser sounds. And one day he was like, take them lasers up out of there.
Yeah, I'm like, take that out. I'm like, we don't need to use those lasers. But I definitely wanted it to give just like this real, like, you remember the Matrix. Like I wanted to give like Matrix or Blade or the scene like when they're walking in the club and it's real like just dark and like vampire-esque and all that. So that was the Bad For You energy that I was going for. And when we shot the visual, you know, we just had this theme, like this big warehouse that just had different things already set up. And I was kind of like directing Chris Davis, who's the cinematographer. I was kind of directing him, letting know which like scenes and shots that I wanted to get and things like that. Rocky came in and was like, we're going to do a fight scene. And I said, I'm not getting my hair messed up. I'm not getting messed up. I'm not getting dirty.
I wanted a real dirty fight. Yeah.
I can see.
I settled for a more.
A hit. I think it was like a she hits guy or something.
Yeah. I hit him with the cereal box. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I can definitely see the fight scene for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wasn't going for it at first because first of all, I don't really even like being dirty in the first place, but I was like, I'm my own stylist. So if I get messed up, I'm like, I have to get dressed again. I have to clean myself up. Then I have to redo my hair, makeup, all that stuff. And then we have to get ready for the next scene. And we only have 3 hours. So he was just like, you know what? Just take this, knock all the stuff off off the shelves. Like, we'll just make it real quick. So we did a whole fight scene. And I just remember like, I actually have the behind the scenes on YouTube, but I just remember laughing the whole time because I'm like, this is so stupid. This is so
but slow down. It's like, it's a crazy effects of the editing is always, you know, it puts the thing together.
Yeah. And we also made fake blood too. So I actually remember this magazine, like back in the day, I think it was like the early 2000s. And it was like this magazine with this recipe for April Fool's. And I remember making this fake blood and my mom, like I did a prank on my mom with a knife and she was like, why would you do that? And so it was funny because I remember this recipe and I'm like, okay, we need to go get corn syrup. We need to get food coloring. We need to get cornstarch and dish soap and you just mix it together and make fake blood.
Oh, good to know.
Yeah.
So that's why.
Yeah. You never know. We were just doing all types of stuff.
You're doing it all, girl, like literally the prosthetic makeup too.
It was really fun though. It was fun. So yeah, that one was shot in 3 hours. That is not a lot of time though when you really think about it.
I'm very, especially with filming, like, yeah, it's a lot of work.
You guys for fucking 16 hours.
Yeah, I was super ambitious, but I'm like, I'm also on a budget. I'm flying out to LA. This is all out of pocket. Shout out to Klarna. But like, we got to make this happen. And we did, though. It looks, I mean, both the visuals look really good. So yeah. I think that was one of my like most popular songs across all platforms, actually.
I think it's a great, and I think again, like, you're already ahead of your time. So like, it's literally not even, it's just, it's still gonna grow because it's timing too.
Yeah, that reminded me of, I think Lizzo like put out a song one time, and I think she said that it didn't blow up until like years later. So it's one of those things.
That happens a lot.
Yeah, it definitely happens a lot. So, you know, I'm just putting it out now, and I know people will come back to it at some point, but
just give it to the streets.
So the next song after that was Senses. I think, was Senses the last song that we did? I think it.
Oh, dang, we're getting there, huh? Bad For You, Rebirth, or Rebirth, Bad For You, Senses.
I think that's it.
You said, is that the last song? Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the last
Senses
song. Senses
crystallized and then Pluto.
Yes.
Yeah, Senses is the last one we recorded.
Yeah.
And it's my favorite song.
Really?
Yeah,
so that was the one that you actually produced that when I was out in LA.
Did I?
You did. That was the one, because I'm like, we need it. So there was one last song that we needed. And I'm like, we need, so I actually you produced two songs in the studio, and then it was another one you produced in your bedroom when I got there.
Oh, Senses. Yeah, I did Senses at the crib. Yeah.
So Senses was the one that he just did in his room, just on his computer. And I was like, oh, this is fire. And I was just like, I was just sitting there and I'm like, oh, just singing. And then he was like, record those melodies. And I'm like, okay. So I just recorded those melodies. The melodies ended up being completely different than what I was originally singing. Because I wasn't like, I needed to go out to LA to get some inspiration. I was like, I'm not inspired right now. I'm just doing all this for my room for the second part of my project. I need a little something. So when I came out to LA, and then I was in Arizona too, I was away from home. And so I was like, oh, like I started to just feel a sense of like freedom. And I was just kind of doing stuff on my own and just like going around the city and just, you know, exploring a bit. Yeah. So that's where I got a lot of that inspiration from.
Because LA is a lot of solo energy for you too, like a lot of retreative, like introspective energy.
Absolutely. So that's where I got a lot of like my inspo for like Senses and Crystallize, which are the, you know, two of the last songs on the project.
And that does feel very, like you said, the classical energy, like it comes in and then very, very like, it's like a bow.
Yeah, Senses is like, I love that song. I'm trying to think of like the headspace that I was in when I was writing it, but I wanted it to feel like kind of bad. I wanted it to feel like Bad For You too, like that real just like sensual, just villainous, like, you know. That song also is tuned to the sacral chakra. So it makes sense, which is the chakra of like, sensuality and sexuality and creativity. And so I really wanted to channel that energy in that song. And you can see it in the visual too.
I was going to say that yellow. I would think of the yellow is sacral.
Yeah, the yellow and the oranges and the greens and the earth tones.
Yeah.
And it was a break from what I'm usually used to because I love like a lot of colors and stuff. And Rocky was like, if you're going to do colors, you need to do colors in a real tasteful way. And I'm like, okay,
but very tasteful.
Yeah, and he also like very like natural stuff too. So I always like to hear a different perspective of my own too, because I'm like, I can sometimes just be like in my own little world of vision. So I like to kind of hear other perspectives so I can, you know, kind of test the waters a bit.
You receive.
Transforming and your aesthetics are transforming too. The same way that your sound is transforming. So we're seeing you experiment more with different color palettes and lighting techniques. Senses was the easiest most natural song for me to produce. It took, I made that beat in like 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. That was a quick one.
Yeah. And that's probably why I love it so much. It just feels right. It just feels natural. It doesn't feel like, you know how sometimes, you know how it's like, you feel like I didn't even make that, like the universe made it. Like I'm just a UFO. Like, yeah, that kind of happened.
Yeah.
It just kind of happened. And I just was having to be the one that was able to create it. But yeah.
Yeah, that was definitely one of my favorite ones to make. It was just, like you said, it came real natural to me. And I think it's a representation of where I am now in the journey, because before, like last year when I first started, I was still going through a lot of like healing and introspection and just like, you know, going through that deep like shadow work. So now moving into this year where I just started working on like songs like Senses and Crystallize, I definitely tapped into that energy more. And I'm like, okay, I feel like I'm on that other side now. So yeah, and made the visual and was very sensual and, you know, also just stepping into that energy too. I wrote an email in my newsletter just talking about how, you know, a lot of women, as we get older too, we kind of, like, that's an important part of us. Like, sensuality, sexuality is natural. It's a part of, you know, just part of life. But we often feel ashamed for it because of just, you know, society and how we're viewed as women. And so instead of having somebody else just sexualize me in a way, I'm like, I'm going to step into that myself. And I'm going to lead in that and just be that, because that's a part of who I am. And so,
exactly.
Yeah.
And it still feels like fresh, youthful. And again, like, it's nameless because it just has an energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's the one that's very popular with like a lot of my DJ friends and stuff. Like they put that into their sets all the time.
I love that.
Actually, Nicole just blended it with Catronata's Please Babe and it sounds...
Ah!
It sounds
I'm
so
good.
I'm
obsessed with that album too. Yeah,
I'm so obsessed.
And he actually spoke about that too. He was like, I don't really do any of this for the charts, you know, but you know, that's cool that it's getting a lot of reach. I'm like, it's a great album, but no, combining it with that, I could hear that now.
Yeah. It sounds so good. And I'm like, that is, he's one of my favorite producers. Like,
oh really?
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I definitely like, I'm definitely just, you know, stepping into just who I am more. I think that even with the Pluto and Aquarius, like I feel that times 10 because it just feels like a very, like we're always transforming, but I feel like this part of my transformation and that rebirth is just me fully stepping into that power, like just that Plutonian energy, like just taking my power back and just standing on business.
Yeah, because one thing about Pluto energy is the change is definite. Like, it's like you will never be the same again. You ever heard that song by, it's like the 80s. You ever watch Teen Witch?
Teen Witch?
It's like one. Yeah, it's like an old 80s film.
I think, Yeah,
there's like, there's a song called Never Gonna Be the Same Again in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Lori Russo. It's like, I think the Lori Russo is the person that is, that's what the song, who the song belongs to, I'm sorry. But I'm trying to think if it was a different person on the film because the way it sounded, but it was never going to be the same again. I always think of that when I think of Pluto, because every time a Pluto transit happens or anything associated with Pluto, like you're going to look back at that time period as if you were a completely different person.
Yeah.
It's like a whole new scope.
I'm going to listen to that song too. Yeah. It definitely feels like that too. Like I was kind of just looking at who I was even just like a year ago. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I am completely different. Like, it's insane to kind of look at it and just like I'm completely different. Just how I respond to things, just my whole aura is just different. And I love this version of myself. Like, just allowing yourself to just evolve. This is the most beautiful thing.
It is. And not to get stuck at like a crossroad or just kind of stuck. I think it's important to transform. It really is. It's so funny. Yeah. My sidereal chart, I'm a Scorpio moon and rising. And
are you?
I put on the Pluto necklace this week. So I was like, let me just tap into this, is like the silver one too. That, you know what? That is like one of its kind. That will know. It's like no one will have that one.
So the, yeah, the this is collection. This is the OG Shadana shop Pluto necklace, which I wear this, and I have on the earrings too.
Yes, I love the earrings. That little symbol is so cute as a stud. Like I've it's seen so it. Cute. Like it's like a second ear, first ear. It's so cute.
Yeah, thank I you. Wear
and.
Look at that.
And yes, I was going to say, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but I intentionally changed the design to this because the way the light catches them, it's like it twinkles like a star versus the necklaces from the first collection. They're just heavier and they feel more medallion-y, so they don't capture the light. But these like capture the light because they the weight. Yeah, so the weight changes it. Nice.
They do. So, I noticed that when I was shooting like the visuals, because I wore some of the little jewelry and when I did the photo shoot. And I'm like, oh, it's like glistening and shining. I love it.
I love that's my favorite part about the new collection. But no, I love that. You know, the old collection is so special to me because it was like medallion type of thing. Like you see, it's the material is a little more solid, so you just toothbrush it and it's back new again, like, you know.
Yeah,
so.
This is definitely a statement piece. I wear this often. For sure. But yeah, going into Crystallize, that Crystallize is definitely one of my favorite songs.
Since this was the easiest song to produce, and Crystallize the most difficult song.
Crystallize down to the visualizer. Like I just got done editing the visualizer not too long ago.
Video,
last week. Is it
really
Crystallize? And I love Omen video too.
Crystallize. I'm still not.
It took the most time, or it was just difficult.
It took so much time. It took like So again, I'm not necessarily, like, I don't call myself an editor because this is all DIY. I was on YouTube, like, how do I do this? How do I do that for all of the visuals? Like, I have a little bit experience editing, but it's, like, basic videos. Like, you know, just different transitions, putting music to it, fine. But I was, like, actually color grading. And then sometimes when I would color grade and export it, it wasn't the same color. So then I had to Google why that's happening. And then people were talking about just all this transfer and all. And I'm like, I don't know any of these technical terms.
Yeah.
So I was having to download presets and like going back and just playing with colors and mixing them. And so what I did was I took the photos from the photo shoot and I put it in Lightroom and I'm like, okay. I'm going to edit these. And so I was trying to match it with the photo. And I'm like, I even reached out to one of my friends who's a videographer and I'm like, Please tell me like what I need to do. So he kind of pointed me in the right direction, but it was so difficult. And I think even the song. So I sent a lot of vocals for that song. Like how many vocal tracks did it have, Rocky? Or how many tracks did it have in general? It was a lot. It was definitely over 20.
Might have been more than 50.
And 50 is a lot for one song.
Yeah, it's a lot of vocals.
That's a lot of layering.
A lot of instruments, a lot of vocals. And then we fucking muted and got rid of a lot of stuff by the time we got to the end of it.
Wow.
Yeah. So, because he's a minimalist. I wouldn't call myself a maximalist, but I do kind of like the vocal. What'd you say?
She dramatic.
I'm very dramatic. So I like a lot of just like layering, and I like a lot of just like, you know, just a little extra.
I get that. Yeah, I get that.
So there was a point where I was like, the songs don't sound clear. And I'm like, why doesn't it sound clear? And I'm like, oh, there's this effect. What was the effect? It was the
delay.
Yeah, it was a delay on all of the last
piece though. Like we had already done probably, we did hours and hours and hours of adding and or not mostly like mixing and getting rid of stuff, and then now we got the song sounding good where it's like, okay, it's not too much going on. But in the mixing process, she kept hearing little things that I couldn't figure out what she was hearing, and and then she finally realized it was some delay, like, you know how the vocal, like, kind of echo. It'll have, like, a slight echo in the background. So it was some delay that was very low in the background at the average.
But you caught it. Yeah, you have the ear.
Yeah, and that's when I realized, I was like, she has a crazy ear. And even probably throughout this project, her ear is even growing. Because the more that you intentionally deal with music and like breaking it down, the better that your ear is trained. So like somebody like me who's been doing this for 20 years, if I'm in like a restaurant and they're playing music, sometimes I can kind of, it's almost like a curse, because I can hear everything that's going on in the music, like broken down, instead of just experiencing it as one thing. And she's starting to become like that, where now you understand.
It's funny how that happened, because I, like, at first I couldn't really differentiate what, you know, what the sounds were and things like that. But it's interesting as you start to, you know, work or practice in something more and more, how you naturally just become really good at it. It goes for languages. It just goes to any, like, goes for any hobbies, crafts you do, like everything. I guess I wasn't necessarily like expecting to become better. Like I guess it was just something that naturally happened, but I just started, my ear just started to get really different. And even when I was learning to produce, they would say in a lot of videos that I would watch, like, you have to train your ears. And like, as you continue to do it, you'll start to hear things a little bit differently. And that's how you'll know like how to mix certain things. And so it's really interesting. Music,
comparing your music to Beyonce music, seeing what's the difference.
Very important.
Yeah.
And I love to hear musicians talk about this like this. Yeah. It's really important that you guys are even saying this now.
Yeah, even now, like when I listen to certain songs, I can easily tell if something is mixed right or if it's not mixed right at all, if the mix is terrible, even the master and the levels and things. I'm like, like, oh, this is, they should have spent more time on this, or they should have.
It's a meme with a producer in a club. It say, like a producer in a club, and it's like a dude talking to a girl, and he basically saying, like, you know, the 808 off on this song, right? Like, we be hearing just the most slightest.
That's so funny.
That's like my DJ friends. Like, my DJ friends, they'll go into like a place where somebody's DJing, and they're like, oh, this blend is terrible. They didn't do this right. Like, just critiquing it. But it's like, when
DJs
you're
have so much power.
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
They can kill it, or they can create the vibe, like, for real.
Yeah. Yeah. And the same thing is with producing and engineering too. Like, I can just easily tell now. So I'm very specific and very particular. And I appreciate Rocky, because like, we would spend hours, like, I'm just like, no, this isn't right. I hear something, like, can you turn it down, like, maybe 2 decibels, or maybe turn it up 2 decibels, like, just very fine tuning and fine combing, like,
everything.
The whole thing.
I told her,
and it's gonna get better and better.
Yeah. What'd you say?
I said, I told her she's mixing her next album herself. she got
no.
you might have it in the bag by then. Yeah.
See, the thing about it is, like, I'm okay with having the knowledge of it, but that is so niche. Like, I don't even like hearing him mix my own music. I'm like, I don't want to hear any of the raw vocals. I don't want to hear, like, because you're listening to the song over and over and over and over and over again, and I'm like, I don't even like the process of it. I don't know how he does it.
You edited your video, right? You edit your videos, right?
I was gonna say, like, editing video, you see the same thing.
Your songs too.
No, for now, I'm editing them because I have to for now. But I'm definitely gonna have a team for everything, and people who actually enjoy doing it. Like, there's people who love mixing. There's people who love mastering.
This is true. Literally, you're speaking to the choir. You're preaching to the choir.
Yeah. So Crystallize is definitely that song. Just even for, well, I don't know about producing. I feel like producing it was, when you produced it, it was seamless. Like, I remember being on FaceTime and I was like,
the first
version
of it was fine, but by the time we actually produced the song, that was the most meticulous song.
Yeah, that was. The beat was pretty easy. The first version of it. And then the song was just
Producing and mixing and mastering is cool, but pulling things out of somebody's mind be the exhausting part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
creation is such, yes. No, seriously, you guys created a really cool project.
Yeah. That takes us to, so crystallizes the heart chakra. And that song, you can hear it too. So, also with all the songs, Rocky figured out a formula to tune them actually to the solfeggio frequencies that's associated with the seven chakras.
He did mention that, which is beautiful. Wow.
He's like a genius.
I was going to say, that's definitely some Aquarian stuff. Yeah,
I dove deep into like some quantum physics and like,
wow,
over here.
Oh, yeah.
Figuring out how to take any record that's already in 440 and align it with the solfeggio in the best way. So the album is literally sound therapy. You can you can turn it on, you might sleep better, you might align your chakras, open your chakras, you know.
Well, so tell her about the difference between like how 440 became a standard, because I love hearing the story.
Oh yeah, 440. So historically, humans naturally tune their instruments to 432. So when we discover or when we find ancient instruments from like Egypt or Africa or even the Greeks and the Romans and Asians, they all tune their instruments in harmony with 432, which is also in harmony with 8 hertz, which is the frequency of Earth. And then that frequency is in harmony with the frequencies of our brain waves and humans' vibrations. So like they say 432 is basically the frequency of nature. And humans naturally tune their instruments to 432. We didn't invent the tuning fork to like the 1700s. So there was no way to even know what we were tuning to. We were just tuning it to that. And then after we invented the tuning fork, we were able to measure it. And then different countries started to try to bring in different, because like if France does theirs to this frequency and then like another country does theirs to another one, when people started to travel, they started to align to the same frequency, so that way it could be more interchangeable. And then after World War II, they say, like, I forget what the name of the organization is, but it's like the World Organization for like standardization of metrics or whatever. And Rockefeller and the US and the West in Europe, they all had advocated for like changing the global standard from 432 to 440. Mm-hmm. And then like, so throughout the 1940s and 50s, they ended up making that change. And ever since then, everything that we listen to is tuned to 440, but 440 is disharmonic with us. So when you go on YouTube or you go on an app and you type in like solfeggio frequencies or like healing music, then like, you'll listen to something that's tuned to 432 or maybe a 528. And so, yeah, that was my whole goal with figuring out that formula, was so that we can take anyone's music that is in 440 and we can align it with any other chakra. So we could put it in 396, 417, 528, 639, 741, and be more intentional with like the energy that we're putting out. So
exactly, which is a loop to what we started the call talking about.
And actually Andre 3000, his flute album that he just released was tuned to 432. He definitely
John Lennon, like some of the dudes from the 70s do it too.
Very familiar.
I've seen it. I've seen projects tuned to like 432, but I haven't seen them tuned to like all of the solfeggio frequencies for the, you know, chakras. So I feel like this is probably, especially like a popular album, I would say this is probably the first project that I've seen that tunes like that, like the first of its kind.
Definitely.
Yeah. So yeah, it adds that more intentional touch to creating this EP. Yeah, and on top of that, when he tunes it too, you can hear the changes a little bit. But he also has the formless, so it doesn't kind of distort or pitch the sound, because when you do tune it, you can it can pitch it very high or very low. So he keeps it to where it's still like a natural sound, a natural tone too. So it's pretty impressive.
Hell yeah.
Definitely.
And then that takes us to the last song on the project, which is Pluto.
Pluto.
So that's actually the next visualizer I'm releasing on the 2nd, I think it's next Tuesday that I'm releasing. And that song was it was quick to record. It was more like a note to myself. So you could apply it in different ways, but when I was writing it, that was really kind of like a message to myself, as in just moving on and moving forward. And just asking myself, did I have any regrets? And just that last note to myself before I moved on to that next phase of my life. And so that's tuned to the crown chakra, which is, that
higher self.
Yeah, that higher self. And so it ties in so perfectly. And it's very just like dreamy. And I wanted it to be quick. I didn't want it to be a full song. Actually, he sent me a full beat, and I naturally just came on the beat probably like some seconds after the beginning of it. And I just recorded it, and we just cropped it and just made it like a outro.
I realized the first song is the darkest, and the last two songs are the lightest, prettier songs.
Yeah. And I think just even for like that whole second portion of the project is more like foreshadowing into that next step of where I'll be going with just like my music and my sound. Like I love making like real dance music, pop music, real dreamy and like harmonic. So that's like the foreshadow into the next phase. So yeah, that is Pluto.
That is Pluto.
That is
what is next. What is next? Like, what do you hope for this to like turn into in the next year when Pluto is direct again, and when it has this? Because Pluto is going to be a main topic next year. So if people are going to be searching Pluto, you're going to be coming up. Like, what's the intention with that?
Yeah. So it's funny that I'll have to send a chart to you. I don't know if I did already, but I had an electional chart reading for the release of Pluto. So that was like on May
8th.
I did. Yeah. So I'll have to send you the chart, but I definitely,
which is ahead of your time again, by the way, like that was another point. Yeah.
Yeah. And ever since I learned about that, I'm like, I will never go back to just doing whatever,
like launching something.
Exactly. Like everything has intention behind it. So definitely just doing the electional chart reading and just pre-planning my releases, and just even down to the visuals, that has so much meaning in itself. So this project in general is very intentional, and I can see it definitely coming back up, like, because it'll slow down a little bit, which is fine because I'm working on new music, but I can see it just coming back up in the near future, and it just becoming that thing that people are like, oh my gosh, have you guys heard this project? So I think that's pretty cool.
Picking all that up.
Like I feel like this EP was something that was like my diary. So it was like Rocky called it my therapy session, which it was. I essentially healed myself through this project. It was that thing that I needed to do for myself as I was getting back into music before I can move on and evolve and elevate. So I'm happy to have put it out, and just, as an artist, I think the bravest thing you can do is put your art out there into the world and share it. So I'm happy that I had enough courage to just do it. Like a lot of. Oh, what'd you say?
It's amazing to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a lot of artists will sit on music for a very long time. I'm guilty of that too. So.
Timing. Yeah. Yep. But no, I think you did. You planted your seed at the perfect time, perfect launch, perfect election. Excited to see what the year return of that election is too.
Yeah, I'm excited. And also, so we've already started working on some new music. after this. And I co-produced it. So I was just like making some beats on my MIDI and I'm like, I got some loops for you. And he's like, but send them over. So I'll just send over some loops and he'll just like put it into, you know, Pro Tools and just create a beat. And I'm like, add some drums to it. I need this. And it's real like sensual dance. It's just, it's fun. It's energetic. It's just dreamy. I love it. Like that's the next,
We're just running wild and free.
Yeah. So just a lot of experimenting, a lot of just doing whatever feels right, whatever comes natural. So one minute we could be making a ballad for a film. The next minute it could be a dance track. I definitely, I think my trip to London, because I know you just came back from London, but my trip to London really changed my perspective on the nightlife scene, on the dance scene.
Oh my God.
I love it. I love London so much.
I love London. I'm literally going to move there. I'm not joking.
Yeah, where you at now?
Atlanta.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, I'm in between New Orleans and Atlanta. So. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely, I would definitely live in London for sure. But they, I remember going out there and I had just started working on like my very first song, which is called Right Now. You can actually find it on SoundCloud. And that was the first music video I did. It was just, I think it was like back in 2018. I was a baby back then. But I was just like talking to people and I was like, yeah, I sing, I do music. And they were just so receptive. They didn't care what I was doing with the music. They were just like, I want to hear, I want to support. They follow me on Instagram, like, just super nice. And
they love music there.
They love it. They love it. So,
and they have all the places you notice you go, any store, they're all playing good music, like really good music. Could be the corner store, anywhere. I'm like, wow.
They know good music there for sure. Mm-hmm. And so I remember being there and every day that we were there, we went to some type of music event, whether we were at the Jazz Cafe, whether we were at some other place. I remember Nicole, she DJed there too. So we were just doing, it was just music every single day. We went to like this party, this all day party that was from like maybe 11 a.m. to like past midnight. And it was just music. We just had house DJs, electronic DJs. It was amazing. So it definitely changed my perception on just the dance scene, because in America, you don't really, especially the city where I'm from, like it's really not a scene here at all. Especially for people who like dance music, house music, electronic, who like, you know, all that alternative, those alternative genres. You don't see, you might hear it a little bit in like, LA.
I was gonna say, I know you stand out where you are.
Yeah. Yeah, LA has.
I'm sure you stand out. You probably just stand out where you are then. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like an alien here.
I'm sure.
Yeah. So it's definitely not a scene, but yeah, I definitely want to get over more into the international markets. I love Japan. You know, that's my son, Icy. So
yes.
I love Japan.
I can't wait to touch Japan.
I know.
I'm going back.
Are you? When?
In September. Oh. I'm obsessed. I decided last minute to go back for my birthday.
I love that for you. Okay, I'm gonna follow along, not too far from you, because I need to go out there. Yes. Yeah. I love Japanese culture. I love I just love everything about Japan. And so I remember you did a post about their nightlife scene. And I'm like, I'm going to get my music into that scene.
Exactly. And it's funny too, because like, I guess because too, they just opened the border the last year and a half. So it's so many Americans there, so many Europeans there right now. It's just a lot of people traveling there in this sense. So I feel like Japan has some of the best DJs. The nightlife is incredible. So even just before going, like internet wise, connecting with all of these DJs, or I don't know, like I just feel like anything is possible right now.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I'm definitely, that's definitely on my list for sure. There, when I look at my analytics, they're actually, Japan is one of the countries that's like up there in like the top five. And Brazil too.
I was about to tell you, in Japan, they only play black music.
Yeah, I got a lot of
like
I got a lot of friends from Japan. They fucking love it. They love us.
Yes. They are obsessed. Like, all they play is Black music. Like, they care about what just came out. They care about the great late greats or whatever. They care about everything. Like, you hear everything in Japan. Same thing with London, how you heard, like, good music everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm like, what in the world? They're playing Monica right now? We were at a random sushi restaurant in, like, a very nice area in Tokyo, and they were playing Monica.
Like, I love that. and I love that they actually have like a genuine appreciation for it. Like, they have a genuine appreciation for the music. So I'm like, I want to go where I know I'll be appreciated. So
exactly,
that's definitely next up for me, is definitely traveling.
Yeah, even visually, I just know visually your mind. Oh my God. Yeah.
Oh, you put me in Japan. I'm going to make it work.
We got to get you to Japan.
Yes, absolutely. That's definitely first on my list out of everywhere I go. Definitely Japan for sure. But yeah, so that's Pluto. And thank you guys for like joining me on this call and talking about all the things and dissecting Pluto a bit.
Hell yeah.
Thank you for having me. It was such a pleasure. Anytime. And it was a pleasure meeting you, Rocky.
I was going to say, I followed you on Twitter, too, so I've been
catching. Oh, nice.
Yes,
okay, so I have to figure out which one. You got to DM me so I know which one you are.
I got you. And then you on Instagram, too?
Yeah, it's just Shadonis.
I'm going to find you over there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will say one of my biggest, like, as far as like my following and as far as like my supporters, especially when it comes to music, like the astrology community has been so just supportive and loving and just uplifting. And I love that. I'm grateful for it. And I just keep attracting, you know, witches.
Everything and everything.
Yeah.
All the woo-woo. And I always say, I think because I'm from New Orleans, all of this has never been taboo for me. I always saw it as like a language, a breath of air, and it really is just becoming, I guess, more acceptable now. I hope, you know, in the future, which I think will be like, it's like, I don't think any of this will be, it's getting to that point. Like, I'll like be here overhearing teenagers say, oh, I need to rectify my Pluto. It's in my fourth house. So me and my dad have problems. Yeah. I'm like,
we just heard
from
some strangers.
everybody's studying, everybody's getting to know themselves, and I think it's just so cool. I love it.
Age of the Aquarius is the age of information.
Mm-hmm.
So we are more informed than ever now.
Definitely. Yeah. Which comes with discernment. Yeah, we'll have need levels of increased discernment as
because it's wild out here.
Yeah, Pluto Aquarius will bring a lot of cults for sure. Definitely.
Yeah. I see that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I definitely am grateful for that. Because I, you know, the Facebook group, the Black Girl Astrologers, that was like my first introduction into like,
love it.
I've always kind of studied it a little bit, but I was never like heavy into it. And then I joined that community and I was like, oh my gosh, like I've met so many women from that group and we've connected. And that was just like my first introduction into like community. It was just a group full of Black women who studied astrology. And I was like,
it's powerful. Yeah. When minds come together, it's so powerful. Mm-hmm. It's so powerful.
Yeah. So, definitely grateful for you. And
it was great to meet your AI.
Yes, your AI. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah,
nice to meet you.
It'll actually be it'll be emailing you guys. So
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. I definitely need a reading. I just saw your email, so I'm gonna be connecting with you again. Your emails are perfect,
girl. I'm literally trying. It's an effort. It's just effort.
I can see. Yeah, you're doing a good job. So
thank you.
Yeah, I was just reading it today.
Thank you.
So Rocky, if you ever need a reading,
I got you.
Get ready for me. Let's go.
Yes,
let's do it.
All right. Well,
I guess it'll close out whenever we end the call. So,
okay, I'm just gonna wave to the camera before I close out.
Peace.
Peace.